Smith of Spirituality, aka the Van Jones of Vitriol, aka the Confucius of Concentration, aka the Muhammad Ali of Meditation, aka the guy who missed a week of podcasting. And we are back for another transmission of the Being Centered podcast. Yes, 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 we're here, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And if I must say, this is going to be a very, very, very action-packed episode. As much action as sitting in a chair and talking into a microphone can produce. Where are my manners? First and foremost, ladies and gentlemen, how are you guys doing? Can we do a little exercise really quickly? Indulge me. I want you guys to think about a number between 1 and 5. And don't tell me it. Just think about a number between 1 and 5. And when I ask how have the last 2 weeks treated you, 1 being poor, 5 being splendid, pick a number between 1 and 5 and hold that number in your hearts. And hopefully by the end of this program, we're going to get that number raised at least one notch. So if it's a 1, we're going to get it to a 2. If it's a 3, we're going to get it to a 4. If it's a 4, we're going to get it to a 5. And if it's a 5, we're going to get it beyond the scale into a 6. I want to start off the podcast just by showing some appreciation and gratitude. Because I was thinking this past weekend, my. It is such a great feeling to be and feel loved. It is such a great feeling to be and feel loved. There are people in this world, and you may be one of them, who is listening to this podcast right now who does not feel loved. I want you to know that you indeed are loved. The universe holds a space for you right in its heart. What I say in the beginning of this podcast, that mantra, I want hopefully that everybody holds it dear by the end of this 5-year run that we're on together. You are life in the human form. You are the universe, becoming extremely conscious of itself. It is important to realize that at some point in our lives that our existence here is not something that is an accident. Everybody's life is important, and everybody who lives is loved. I fail at this all the time, and this is a product of something that I'm thinking about often, and it's brought me to this place of questioning, and I question my position in reality every day, right? I have big ideas and big goals, lofty dreams, and I wonder, I put them on a scale, a Libra scale of sorts, and I say, man, how important is it for me to accomplish my dreams? And what am I sacrificing by chasing? We're all chasing something. This past weekend, I spent more time than I would like to spend on Instagram. But I always love going on Instagram because I like seeing how my folks are doing, my friends and my family, and some supporters of my work. It's always a blessing to interact with the people that I love. And what I found is that time is just moving by, number one. Time is going. But inside of that, I am missing so much by pursuing this thing, you know. But I've also realized something about myself, that I only go on Instagram when I'm searching for something, right? When I'm not my optimum self, when I'm not as happy as I would like to be, that's when I open up the Instagram app. I say on this podcast all the time, I live a really good life, comfortable life. And I'm going to break down to some of you guys how I live a comfortable life, because some of you guys are listening to me for the first time. Some of you guys have never heard of me at all. Some of you guys are family and friends and want to figure out if there's a nugget of value, of wisdom that old Rais can impose upon your lives. Well, this might be the episode for you, but I'm only going to be speaking about my trials and tribulations. So if this is not where you thought you would get from this podcast, I apologize, and maybe I could come back. Maybe you can come back next week and I can give you the value catered to your specific life. But this episode, I hope to function as a vessel, as an avatar, because the thing about reality is we are searching for avatars of our specific issues. And hopefully in this episode, I can function as your own avatar, not somebody that you can identify 100% through, but somebody that you can identify with for a time being. Because primarily we're all chasing something. Excuse me as I drink. We're all chasing something. And I want to be clear. I recorded this episode already. I didn't just miss a week of the podcast just for fun. I recorded an episode already. On Wednesday, lo and behold, I sat in my very chair, laptop open, microphone queued up, candles lit, tea ready, water ready. And I was sitting here into the microphone and I started talking and talking and talking. And as I was speaking into the microphone, there were things that I said which were, I won't say callous, but they were a little bit unrefined. They weren't the refined thoughts that I would hope to bring to you all. Because I'm talking about very important matters, and how I was speaking about them, how I was speaking about these ideas. I'm working through these ideas, right? It may feel like, you know, for the longtime listeners out there, it may feel like I just get on this microphone and start talking from second number zero to the first hour. But there's some thought that goes into this. And these are ideas that I'm beating over the head with a sledgehammer, you know. And until I beat them over, once I beat them over the head with a sledgehammer, I take a scalpel to them, right? So I go from brute force to fine-tuned. And when I hopped on a podcast last Wednesday, I approached it brute force. And as I approached it brute force, I lost all the finesse. And with losing the finesse, I lose the message. And with losing the message, I may hurt somebody's feelings. And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings when I deliver these podcast episodes. So that's a lost episode, gone in the files, not in the trash bin. I might listen to it from time to time to laugh, but It's a lost episode. So what I've been thinking over this past week was about ideas. It was just about ideas. Ideas and low points. This podcast was birthed out of dreams and ambitions, and What I am going to do with this podcast, with this platform, is pretty much just setting a template of value for 5 years. And I hope in this 5-year period, I transmit as much value as humanly possible. And the reason why I put a 5-year cap on it is because I don't want to be beholden to anything in that regard. And I put a 5-year cap on a lot of things in my professional career. For those of you who listened to the first episode of the podcast, my writing career has a 5-year cap on it too. And then I'm going to transition into doing other things. I'm going to be on a mountain pursuing my spiritual endeavors and my spiritual endeavors only. No contact with the world as monk as it can possibly get. Not really, but you know what I mean. But just committing myself to spiritual development more than anything. But in the meantime, what I intend to do is take these spiritual concepts and try to distill them down to a way in which they are understandable for us all, so we can all eat the meal that I'm eating alone. And I will say it might be working. We're making some progress in that regard. Our podcast, and I say our because this is a collective project, our podcast is number 6 in philosophy in Uzbekistan. I got these numbers back this past week. Number 68 in society and culture in Canada, and number 6 in society and culture in Uzbekistan. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, for just a short resurgence, we've made a lot of progress. So I'd like to thank you guys for sharing this podcast, for listening to this podcast, for participating in a dialogue with this podcast. I'm truly, truly grateful. But my reason for trying to place this conversation in this regard is to distinguish the difference between brand and infrastructure in what these companies, these power players, what social media is creating is the natural fascination with brand and the disinterest in infrastructure. So what do I mean by brand and infrastructure? For those of you who don't know, I'm an author. I have one published book under my belt. And by 2022, I will have three or four. Why is this important? It's because when I first published my book, I went about it the wrong way. And how I went about it the wrong way is because I was going after brand and not infrastructure. I recognized as a result of the pandemic, which I believe changed my life, and I wonder if the same thing is manifested in other people. The pandemic changed my life because it got me to look at my business model differently. See, what happened as a result of the pandemic was a stoppage of work. The world stopped, and it caused us all to take a long, hard look at ourselves. And what I did as a product of the pandemic was took a long, hard look at myself because I had projected everything into my life. I planned everything. Every aspect of my life was planned meticulously before 2020. Meticulously. Every single thing, every day, every second, every year was planned to a T, my every move. I'm going to go speak here. I'm going to take that money from that speaking engagement, flip it over here, turn into this, take that. I had everything planned. But then 2020 happened. And I received a stoppage of work. I couldn't go to speak. I didn't feel the strength in me to podcast. I was a fluster. I was thinking, yeah, wow, what is the universe trying to teach me? In this moment of pause, in this moment of stillness, what do I have to do? And the universe told me to take a long, hard look at myself, a deep, deep look at myself from a boy until now. Take a long, hard look at yourself because by the end of 2020, Big Papa was burnt out. He was tired. I was tired. Even with the stoppage, the psychopathic element in me, I said, no, I must keep working. And so I did. And what I ended up doing, unbeknownst to me at the time, was I participated in infrastructure. I was infrastructure building. So, And I speak about this in a way to which those who are trying to build anything, please heed my warnings. Don't take this like I am sunning you. Take this as a person who is trying to teach you guys to get to the other end of whatever you are building. We have to stop building brands and start building infrastructure. Brands only get us so far. Infrastructure frees us. And I couldn't notice this while I was in the midst of what I was building. So 2020, stoppage of work. I have this book, this commodity, but I can't go out into the world and sell it. But however, I have this skill set. And I keep on bringing up Instagram because whenever I'm on Instagram, I realize something very, very true is that the things that I have received in my life, the blessings that have rained down upon my existence, they did not come from Instagram. They came from face to face. They came from IRL, eye contact. Majority of the business that I've received has been from people reading my book. People in Middle America, Kentucky, Idaho, Michigan, Illinois, saying, this brother knows something. I wonder what he knows. This kid knows something. At the time, I was 23, 24. This kid knows something. I want to see what he knows. And you can't imagine the type of people who I've met. Not by them realizing I wrote the book, but from what was inside of it. They didn't care about the story. They cared about the knowledge and the skill set. The knowledge and the skill set. And from that, I've closed deals. I've been able to feed myself. I've been able to participate in the infrastructure of writing. Not just building my brand as an author, but a part of the infrastructure of writing. Editing, script doctoring, consulting. The infrastructure. I use a company like Tesla as an example. See, Tesla and Elon Musk are so big that we tend to believe that they're part of their brand. But if you peel the layer back a little bit, and you do a little due diligence on the life of Elon Musk or the life of Tesla, the company, you realize that Tesla nearly filed for bankruptcy. Tesla was going to go out of business. Until NASA, NASA, came and knocked on Elon Musk's door and gave them a contract. A contract worth an exorbitant amount of money. So much money that what they actually list is what the contract is worth is not the actual worth of the contract. Trust me, I know, because I've spoken to somebody at NASA. Who expressed these opinions to me. NASA saved Tesla. NASA saved SpaceX. Because they saw that this man has facilitated his knowledge, his skill set, as a part of the infrastructure of space exploration. And so why do I bring this to you guys? Well, I'm in the middle of a little bit of a cold war with my publisher. Right? This is why it's so funny. I'm in a little bit of a cold war with my publisher right now. It's because they don't want me to publish my next book first. The book that I have that is a nonfiction book that is about the state of the world, that is about culture, that is about blackness, that is about the American way, that's about transgenderism, that's about homosexuality, that's just about the world at large. Womanism, feminism, marriage. Just a massive cultural expose using mythology and sociology and philosophy to understand where all of these ideas and social temperaments come from. It's called Our Peace Problem. Right now it's slated to release in February 2nd, 2022. 2222. And so this book is my most personal book. You know, it's a and the release for this book I have planned is of none other. I've never seen a book. I never seen anyone release a book how I intend to release this next book. And the reason why they don't want me to publish this book first, they want to publish the follow-up to my first book first, is because they don't want me to ruin my brand. My brand as an author. Now, I partner with a lot of smart people. A lot of smart people back this podcast. A lot of smart people back the ideas of Rais Tuluka, not just the author, but the person. A lot of great people. They don't have they can't stop me from doing what I'm doing. But they offer suggestions. Again, it's like a Cold War, you know, a little Cuban Missile Crisis of sorts. So they're saying, we suggest you don't do that. We suggest you go with this book first. However, if you so choose, go for it. And I like to take everybody's opinion into consideration. You know, that has been weighing on me heavy. It's been weighing over me heavy over the past few days. Like, why is this bothering me? Why am I thinking about this? Do I suddenly not have faith in, number one, the infrastructure that I've built, or my intentions with the words that I've written? Or do I believe that my partners are right? It leaves me thinking. It doesn't make me think about something dastardly, you know, something nefarious. I'm not sad in an immeasurable way, but I am, you know, open. I'm pondering. I'm pontificating, you know. This past weekend, I saw what I think is the greatest movie to come out this year, which is Denis Villeneuve's Dune. And for those of you who don't know who Denis Villeneuve is, he is director extraordinaire of Sicario, Arrival, Blade Runner 2049, just a visionary when it comes to sci-fi. Also Prisoners, which is not even sci-fi at all. Just a great match for storytellers. So I went and saw Dune, the film adaptation of Frank Herbert's novel, and I recognized how Denis was able to capture this grand, awe-inspiring narrative and make it digestible. And one of the stories that came out of the production of Dune was that the studio didn't want him to shoot both of the films back to back, Dune Part 1 and Dune Part 2. What popularized the shooting the films back to back formula was The Lord of the Rings. I think they shot the second Lord of the Rings film and a third Lord of the Rings film back to back. And then Avengers Infinity War and Endgame was also shot back to back. And so for Dune, they want to do this back to back. Let's shoot this bad boy back to back. Let's not have any breaks between production periods. Let's wrap the first film. And right when the first film is wrapped, we're going to call everybody back and let's shoot it. But the studio, Legendary and Warner, said no. We're not going to shoot it back to back. And at the moment I said, why is that? And it was fear. Because they didn't know how it performed. They're afraid of how it might perform. Because Dune is it's high concept sci-fi. It's not boom, boom explosions like the Star Trek films of late or the Star Wars films. It's high concept sci-fi. As my good brother Maurice put it to me this morning, which I thought was a brilliant revelation, it's 2 hours of character development. 2 hours and 30 minutes of character development. That's all it is. And he didn't like it for that very reason. So it's a risk, these type of stories we tell. And the studio, the companies, know that these are the risks that we tell with these stories. What is going to be our return? And so with Denis, we figure out the return. The film has made up to this point around $220 million, $40 million this past weekend, $180 million overseas. And again, it's one of the best movies I've seen all year. It's stunning. It's a perfect movie, I would call it. I've watched it twice. One on HBO Max and another one in IMAX at the theater. Phenomenal movie. The character of Paul Atreides by Timothée Chalamet. It's what I think The Lion King does really well. And it's a story of a boy becoming a man. The story of a boy becoming a man. That story, whether you're a girl or a woman or a boy or a man, transitioning, whatever you are, your story is how you mature, how you develop, how you stand on your own ideology and principles. However, you must address your inner child. What I recognize in the pandemic, what I recognize about life at large, and this is one of the observations I had when I was just scrolling on social media. We adopt a lot of ideology in order to make sense of reality, to make sense of the right and the wrong of our day-to-day existence, to protect us from what has harmed us in the past. I'm a huge fan of women in particular who participate in astrology, tarot cards, and crystals. Huge fan, huge fan, huge supporter. My underlying philosophy of why, or my underlying theory as to why most women are gravitating towards those sectors of belief is because traditional religion represents the masculine principle of order and rigidity, and those new expressions, tarot, crystals, astrology, represents the freedom of intuition. See, the masculine is bounded by order, tradition, rigidity, structure. The feminine is chaos, freedom, intuition. The domain of the dreams are where the feminine finds its most consistent reality. You talk to a man, you ask a man, well, what did you dream? He says, I don't know. You talk to a woman, you ask her, what did you dream? She'll tell you in specifics. A man has to learn how to chronicle his dreams. A woman already has them at her disposal. See, that's the difference between the masculine. The dreams are the domain of intuition. And so what you end up finding is women moving towards the astrological, towards intuitive, towards the harnessing of chaotic energy to make manifest something real from nothing. I think I've said this before. I tell all my brothers, if you are gone astray, if you are losing or have lost structure in your life and you need a religion to adopt, pick up Islam. It will straighten you out. It'll straighten you out. But that is the balance of femininity and masculinity. It's represented in the distinction in that regard. But what I've noticed also, conversely, it's no different than when men pick up a religious tradition. When women pick up this astrological tradition, this intuitive domain, when they dive into it without addressing the child within, the ideology just becomes a dress. It just becomes a cover. What do I mean by that? Are you guys familiar with wrapping a car? What wrapping a car means? When you wrap a car, you don't change the paint of the body of the car itself. You cover it. And so what you can do is easily swap out the wraps. You can have a neon green wrap with this matte finish 1 week, and then you can swap it out and have a blue matte wrap the next week. But it's not a paint job. See, when you paint the car, it gets to the body of the vehicle. You address the core of the vehicle. But when you wrap the car, you put something glossy over the exterior. What we have a habit of doing in society as people is we wrap ourselves without addressing the child. And when I say address the child, I mean person you are underneath. What happened to you? Where have you been? What have you gone through? What are you burying? What must you research? What must you find? See, the journey doesn't stop when you adopt a philosophy. That's when it begins. And you will always be challenged. Always. There will always, once you find the philosophy, there will always be things that asks you, how much do you believe in what you believe in? I don't care. And the world does not care about what you believe in. This is what many of us have mistaken about the world and America. America does not care about what you believe in. Society does not care about what you believe in, whether who you have sex with or who you discriminate against. What America and society cares about are the fruits that are born from your beliefs. What fruits have you created from your belief system? And are they positive or are they negative? And when I mean positive and negative, I don't mean good or bad. That's something else that we have to get acclimated with in society. The misappropriation of the word good and bad, or negative and positive. Because who's to say what's good or bad? And what I mean by positive or negative, I mean, is your mind state attracting things or is it taking things away? Are you bringing things towards you or are you pushing things away from you? Are you operating from a perspective of abundance or are you operating from a perspective of lack? See, that's what positive and negative truly means. They are polarities. They aren't states of agreeance. They aren't a perspective of morality. It's abundance versus scarcity. And for some, scarcity may be good. Some people might like scarcity. Some people might enjoy being alone. Let's say I'm a racist bigot and my racism is pushing everybody I love away because it's unpopular to be racist these days. So what it ends up doing is, it's not the mindset of a racist that is negative. Not itself. It is the fruits that are born from the mindset that are negative. And we have to make that subtle distinction so we get a chance to properly understand each other. Are you afraid of what's going to come? Are you avoiding what's coming to you? Are your beliefs, rather, a shield or are they a sword? And when I traveled down this rabbit hole of thought, I was able to empathize with my partners a little bit more because they're not doing this. They're not trying to stifle anything that I'm doing or anything that I'm trying. They're only trying to protect their investment. They're only trying to ensure that they continue to see positive returns. See, business is amoral. Society, for the most part, is amoral. Meaning there is no actual agenda with what is happening here in society. There is only what makes money. So whether it's the little guy versus the big guy, or it's the bunch of people versus the monster, who we equate to be the monster, for a lot of us, the monster is just the unknown. So we tend to put a face or a name to the unknown. And then now that we put a face or a name to the unknown, we think that the unknown is now conquerable, but the unknown is still vastly more superior to us because of its knowledge. It's the reason why, as children, we're afraid of the dark. That's why we're afraid of the dark, because it just represents the vast unknown. The multiplicity of the things we can't hardly comprehend with our childlike mind. We don't abstract first the possibility of danger inside of the darkness. We just abstract the darkness. It's like, there goes darkness. And because I can't see in it, it must be dangerous. And once again, from that void is where our ideology stem from. We need things to protect ourselves. They make us feel better. They make us feel good. Yep, ladies and gentlemen, they make us feel good. But you have to address the child. That's really what I'm here to tell you. I'm here to tell you guys two things. It's mandatory that you address the child first and foremost. And second, from your lowest points are going to be born your greatest triumphs. And so you have to couple that with the perspective that the world was so much bigger when you were a child. So much bigger. Challenges felt insurmountable when you were a child. And to those who I love, I speak in a way that they can understand. I speak directly to them. I speak to them like, there's so much importance, man. Let me dial it back just a little bit so we can get a little bit of understanding. And I'm really trying to make sure that I don't repeat anything I've said on the podcast before. I know it's only been like 5 transmissions or maybe even 3 transmissions with 2 Sunday specials. But I talk so much to so many people, not to flex or anything like that. I try to make sure that when I get on this podcast, I'm not repeating myself. So it takes me a while to just collect my thoughts and say, okay, let me make sure this is the first time I said this to these people, or else it's going to be like, yo, what the hell, dude? What is this? But what I'm saying primarily is, when we reach a certain age, you come to an understanding that what you're searching for externally is what you're looking for internally. When you point your feelers out into the world, when you reach a level of frustration with the results in which you are receiving, when you look out in the world and you're saying, yo, why isn't my life producing what I wanted to produce? It's because you're looking out into the world and seeing something you want, but what you want is inside of you. You're designing your life based upon the expectations and value systems of people outside of yourself, but you have to ask you, my dear friend, what it is that you want. Because what you want is in the child. What you desire is in the child. I want to be free. And I can tell you exactly where my desire for freedom originates. I probably said this already. It originates from my childhood. It originates from the sense of a restricted childhood, a rigorous childhood. I was raised as if I was a Marine, a Navy SEAL, a sense of duty and purpose, a sense of belonging and behavior. These types of trainings that I received, this tutelage that I received from my father, I never am able to shake it. I can't do nothing. I'm not comfortable doing anything. I'm not comfortable sitting. This is why I lean towards Buddhism. There's a practical utility for me to be a Buddhist because it is teaching me how to be still. I began practicing Buddhism at 16 years old, meditating and reading scripture. And it's because intuitively I felt I need to be comfortable with, number one, my aggression, and number two, being still. And then I realized the source of my aggression. The source of my aggression came from pent up emotions that I could not take out on what I believe was the source of my anger, my father, my home. But see, ladies and gentlemen, this is the work that we all have to do. And a lot of us are too afraid to do the work because of what we might find. And the reason why I bring that up is because when I now look at these institutions and people that I'm in business with, that I am partnered with, I always ask myself, is this the child? Is this the child? Is this young Rais upset at the father? Is this young Rais trying to wage war against an authoritarian force? And I have to correct myself, because if I don't correct myself, we make hasty decisions, we don't communicate well, we lose ourselves in the emotions of the now. All the development that we've laid for ourselves from being boy to man is for naught, because we backstep. And so we must address the child. And for every moment that you go without addressing the child, doing the work, figuring out who you are and why you are, what happened to you, where are you going and where you came from, problems arise in your life, frustration arises in your life, and you cannot articulate why you are frustrated. You cannot articulate why you are asking for a break. You cannot articulate why you are upset. Why you are lashing out at everybody, you're missing a key ingredient. You have to know the why, and you don't understand the why unless you address the child. I remember when I first started on this journey of healing the places where I was sore in life. When I first began this journey, this image of myself consistently popped up in my brain. It was a repeated image, and it was so repeated that I took notes on it vigorously. And it was a version of myself who was a child. And to this day, when I even start thinking about it, I get goosebumps. It was a version of myself as a child. Little Rais Toluka, sitting in front of the television screen. And on the television screen, I was probably 19 or 20 when I first had this vision. On the television screen was just flashes of my life. This young me was just watching highlights of my life over and over and over again. It seemed like on an endless loop. On an endless loop. That's all of us. That's all of us. We are all that child. Living, waiting, watching, using the past to inform our present, using people of our past to punish people in our present, misappropriating positivity and negativity, adopting ideology to protect us from the potential violence and randomness and terror of the world, in order to thrive in society. In order to thrive as a human being, you need an equitable balance of order and chaos. The Dharma speaks of the way, the middle path. You have to learn to walk the middle path, which is having one foot in chaos and one foot in order. To my brothers out there, I ask you with humility to please begin documenting your dreams. The moment you start documenting your dreams, I kid you not, you're able to manifest power in your life. One of my mentees asked me, you know, he said, what did he say? He said, oh, I don't know. It feels like I just can't get my life on track. And I said, why? And he said, I don't know, man. I can't really sleep. I'm just not comfortable in my home. I struggle to eat. I eat two meals a day if I'm lucky, when I used to eat three, and I'm just as fat as I was when I ate three. And I said, wait, okay. Stop. Let's unpack this. First, you need to go to sleep at a stable time. You need a healthy and stable sleep schedule. So that means you go to sleep at the same time every night and you wake up at the same time every night. Do that for a month. Second, when you wake up in the morning, the first thing you do is you pick up a journal and you write your thoughts down. And not only do you write your thoughts down, you write down what you dreamt of the night before. Third, after you do that, you get some breakfast. Don't even pick up your phone. Eat some breakfast. Eat it in silence. And then you start your day. Do that for a month. Give it 30 days. He went off, did it for a month. He came back and he said, okay, I'm starting to see minor improvements. Minor improvements. See, in these improvements, ladies and gentlemen, take place before you even adopt an ideology, before you even pick up a religion, a spiritual belief, a political stance. These practical changes you make to your life shift the way the universe bends around you. Why? Because you bring order to chaos. If your sleep schedule is chaotic, you order it. If your eating schedule is chaotic, you order it. You grab it by the throat and you make it bend to your will. Some of y'all just let life beat the shit out of you. Some of y'all let your habits beat the shit out of you. When you can, if you can't even wrangle your habits, what chance do you have of wrangling your destiny? Wrangle yourself, get yourself in order. Like, grab yourself by the neck and say, yo, what am I doing? What am I doing? That low point that you experienced in your life, it's going to come back. Unless you do this, unless you properly ask yourself, what the hell are you doing? What have you been doing? What is out of order? What isn't working? A lot of us tend to do the same thing over and over and over again, lack structure, lack discipline, and then cry wolf. Now, the randomness of life is something that we cannot protect from fully. Life is random. Life is dangerous. There are wolves at the door. But if you are in order, you can take on the wolves at the door. You cannot meet chaos with chaos. You have to meet order with chaos. And the beautiful part about structuring a sleep schedule, it is bringing an order to the chaotic domain. See, when you set a time as to when you sleep, it's a metaphysical existence. Reason being, you're giving yourself a set framework for the chaos of your mind to play, which is dreams. Remember what I said earlier. Dreams are the intuitive domain. It is the feminine principle. is the chaotic exercise. It's freedom unbounded. It's the domain of God. And the reason why it's important to give order to it is because once you give order to it, you mastered your dreams, which is once you take your dreams, which is chaotic, and you bring it down to a level of interpretation, writing it down pen to pad, you are wrangling the chaos and forcing it to bend to your will. Forcing it, squeezing understanding into yourself and into the world of your mind. That's power. You cannot materialize anything in this world, ladies and gentlemen, unless you materialize what you want within yourself. You have to manifest what you want within before you see it without. Your problem is not externalized. No matter what you believe in, no matter how radical you believe you are, feminist, pro-black, activist, Republican, Democrat, Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, astrologer, tarot card reader, crystallite, whatever you are, your problem is not with the world. It is always inside. The final frontier is inward. It is the first and last. That's where you have to go all the time. You must address the child. If you do not address the child, you cannot build empathy for others. You lose patience with yourself. And if you don't have patience for yourself, what chance do you have of having patience with other people? Even inside of that, get to the place where you are able to see yourself. That when you're mad, when you're frustrated, when you're just seeking understanding and it seems like you're confused and you cannot get the answer you want, it's because the child in you is seeking retribution, seeking justice, is seeking solace, a home. Ladies and gentlemen, I go by the name of Rais DeLuca, aka the Film Abbot, aka the Bob Ross of Buddhism, aka the Stephen A. Smith of spirituality, aka the one who loves you so much he records 2 podcasts a week. And I am very appreciative that you guys sat through this stream of consciousness, this podcast, this transmission beaming straight from my head to your ears. I do not take any of you guys for granted. I appreciate all of your ears. I appreciate all of your minds. I ask for you guys to continue to give me an open ear, an open mind, an open heart. And I would ask for you guys to continue to discern the messages in society that are adding to you, that are producing abundance and scarcity. Not saying either is good or either is bad, but I'm asking, please be aware of the mentalities that are fostering either of those elements, positive or negative, abundance and scarcity. I'm asking you to straddle, to step in both chaos and order, to find truth in your individual lives. And I'm asking you to be kind to others.
Climb after climb, fall after fall. That's the process you go through to get it all. Even when I fell short, I stood tall.
ball out. Remember days I would call out, yeah. Quit my last job and went all out. They say I'm a star now. Really walk the walk, I'm pretty far now. Really running shit, don't need a car now. Came up, bitch, I smoke weed out of jar now. Got my pinky up, saying hardy hard, hard now. Look at the wave, nigga. In the flow water, make the wave bigger. I ain't no pastor, but I save niggas. Ask for yourself before you come and ask for my help. Try and do the shit by yourself. That's what I respect now. My Crocs come with a check now. These ain't Nike though. I just step round. All these rap niggas, yeah. You could do this when you that nigga. Love how the time flow. Niggas throw shade, I still shine though. You ain't give your all, what you crying for? This shit ain't supposed to be easy. I just got a text from G-Eazy. Can't move to LA, the V need me. And I need them too. Meeting after meeting, call after call, climb after climb, fall after fall. That's the process you go through to get it all. Even when I fell short, I stood tall. Yeah. This shit is not the same. It ain't been done before. Yeah. Wow. I don't want shit from these niggas. Yeah. Just give me what I work for, nothing more, nothing less. Damn,